Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This is God's word. "Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to live life worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Now, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, 'When he ascended on high, he took the captives captive. He gave gifts to people.' But what does 'he ascended' mean except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with the desire for more and more. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. Therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you, as is proper for saints. Obscene and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. For know and recognize this: every sexually immoral or impure or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Paul spends the first half of this letter reminding us of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And then beginning in the section that Bishop Usher decided should be called chapter 4, beginning in the section where we read today, he begins to speak of the application. In light of what God has done, this is how we are to live. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to live worthy of the calling you have received. God has called you and me to live according to his plan. He has a plan for us. He has a design for us. He has something in mind for us. And we're to live in light of that. I don't know what your inner sense of calling feels like. I don't know what your long-term direction, many of you just young adults starting on a new step in the journey, I don't know what that may look like for you. But I do know this: God knows, and God knows how to communicate with you what he wants of you. But some folks are so preoccupied with what am I going to do next, what am I going to do long term, that they miss what God has emphatically made clear for all of us. Whatever he's calling us to do, this is the way that we are to live. This is the way we are to do it. So if you're working in this arena, or if you're working in this arena, or if you're working in this arena, these things are still true. You're to walk in humility and in holiness and in love and speaking truth in love. Whether you're digging ditches or whether you're financing skyscrapers, whether you are a surgeon or flipping burgers, whatever you do, a homeschool mom, a truck driver, whatever it is that God calls us to be, we're to do it for his glory. We're to do it as his servants, wanting to please him. I urge you to live worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That is what we're called to. That is the way we're supposed to live. And whatever we do ministry-wise is ashes if this is not true of the way that we treat one another. And then he speaks at length about unity. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, who is above all and through all and in all. We are called to unity. Does that mean we all tie our ankles together and walk around in lockstep? No, we wouldn't be very effective at getting things done that way, would we? Instead, like the human body, different ones have different roles. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of smell be? Where would the sense of hearing be? That's one of the questions Paul asks elsewhere when talking about the way the body functions. This is a picture that God has given us more than once in his word through the Apostle Paul of the way that we are to relate to one another. Don't expect that everybody's supposed to be doing the same thing. You are not supposed to be just like everybody else and doing the same thing. And if you feel like, well, why doesn't that person ever have to do what I do? Or why don't they do their job the way I do mine? Stop it. God has called us to do what we're supposed to do. But when we live together as a body, we do tend to notice, don't we? After a while, if we feel like we're the only one who's doing this, sometimes we can feel like other people are not doing their share. Well, guess what? Maybe they're not. Maybe they're not. What's it to you? The question is, are you doing what you're supposed to do? And within the body, we're not all supposed to do the same thing. God has brilliantly brought together different people from different backgrounds with different gifts and given them different responsibilities, and they'll do things in different ways. And that is true wherever you serve the Lord. Wherever you serve the Lord. But please understand, it's not, you might be right that that person's not doing their job the way that they ought to do it. But unless you're their supervisor, back off. Focus on what God has called you to do. And God will take care of his body.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to look out over the beautiful Sea of Galilee, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, and pray on the Mount of Olives amid the ancient trees is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
To learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood, visit wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his hand. Within the body, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry. The purpose of those folks in the church is not to do the ministry so that the rest of the saints don't have to. It is that they might equip the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. In other words, the goal is that we're going to grow up to be just like Jesus. That's the goal. And then we'll no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. Paul makes it very clear that there are believers who are genuinely believers, but who are immature and therefore easily deceived. God wants us to be grounded in his word so that when we hear this, we can say, yes, that is true, because that is consistent with God's word. And when we hear this, we'll say, that sounds good, but it's not true, because it goes against God's word. God's word is the means by which we test the spirits to know, is this right or is this wrong? It's not how cleverly the person speaks. It's not what vocabulary they use or what heartfelt illustrations they have. It is, does it line up with the scriptures? Speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. I think there are some better translations of that passage. Let me see if I can give you the short version. All right? Two things in those verses about how the body is supposed to grow into maturity. One is the proper working of each individual part. The second is what's translated here is the ligaments. I think it is better translated the joints. Okay? It's by that which every joint supplies. Now, what is a joint but something that connects parts? The thing that connects us is relationship. And folks, you and I not only need to work properly, but if we're going to work properly, we have to come together. We have to have relationships that function so that we encourage one another and build one another up instead of constantly fighting with each other. That doesn't mean we always do the same thing. Typically in marriage, opposites attract. We need each other. We need each other. It doesn't mean we're working against each other. It means we are working in a complementary fashion. In the body of Christ, we grow through the building up in love. Individual parts and relationships contributing to that. And then he talks about the fact that we can't live the way we used to live. Now remember previously he said in Christ there's no longer Jew or Gentile. That has been taken away. We are one body in Christ. But he says, that doesn't mean you can just kind of keep your old culture. You were taught by him to take off, verse 22, to take off your former way of life, the old self corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. Therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we're members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Now, that's not a command to be angry. It is an honest recognition of what happens. If you feel like you never get angry, you are a miserable person to be around, because when you're angry, you're refusing to acknowledge it. When you get angry, do not sin. You don't have to let the anger control you. You can acknowledge the fact that you're angry, but analyze why. And what do I need to do about it? What would God have me do about this anger? Because we are members of one another. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Now, folks, when you are angry, you need to prayerfully consider why. And if you're angry because of injustice, if you're angry because someone has molested a child, if you're angry because someone has stolen something from somebody, okay, what are you going to do about it? What you mustn't do about it is carry that anger from day to day, because let me tell you, it's like a garbage disposal. After a while, unless you flush that on out, it's going to stink. Is that clear? It's going to stink. And there are a lot of people walking around with stuff they're mad about that happened 20 years ago. And they still remember it. By golly, they're not going to let it go. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Don't carry that anger forward. And let the thief no longer steal. Rather, let him work with his hands so that he can have a lot of stuff for himself. Is that what it says? It says, let him work with his hands so that he may have something to share with those who are in need. Wow, you talk about a total transformation of life. You move from a person who was stealing to get for himself to a person who's working to give to others. Would you say that's a pretty radical transformation? That's what God wants to do in us. He wants to turn us from being selfish people to being like Christ, who gave his life for us. And so now the motivation for my work is in order to share. I'm doing something in order to try and benefit others, as well as take care of my own needs. But I'm not just thinking of myself any longer, and I'm certainly not going to steal. And no foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God also forgave you in Christ. If you want to know what to do with your anger, that's the answer right there. Forgive. 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 Well, the person hasn't said they're sorry. Well, is that the way God treated us? Jesus, hanging on the cross, says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God doesn't forgive us based on our repentance. We receive forgiveness as we repent. But his forgiveness is offered freely. Thank God. That's the way we're supposed to forgive. The person may never receive your forgiveness, but it's not because you're unforgiving. It's not because you're still walking around with anger and bitterness chewing you up inside. Whatever somebody's done, you need to let it go. You say, well, I don't think I could ever trust that person. You don't have to. Forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. Forgiveness is always only based on grace. Trust is earned. We're to forgive one another just as God also forgave you in Christ. It wasn't based on us. It was based on grace. Amen? Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. Now, if that's the way that we live, we're not going to be involved in sexual immorality or impurity or greed. In fact, he says those things shouldn't even be heard of among you. Obscene and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. What kind of speech comes from your mouth? For no one recognized this. Every sexually immoral or impure or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Just understand that there are a lot of people today in pulpits trying to tell folks that the church has been wrong for a long, long time. It is okay to engage in sexual immorality. God doesn't mind. In fact, it's not immoral. Okay? We've redefined it. Guess what? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Everybody's still going to have to stand before God, and God hasn't changed his mind. And so it is cruel and unloving to tell people it's okay to do stuff that God says it's not okay to do. That's not being loving. That is being a liar. And by the way, we value truth around here. So, God calls us to walk in holiness before him. And we need one another in order to do that. But it's not so that we can all police one another. It's so that we can encourage one another build one another up in love. Let's do what God says.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.